You ready?
Yeah.
You ready? All right, hold on. Here we go.
Welcome to the My Aggie Nation podcast. On this week's episode, well, it's going to be a little bit of all over the place. We're going to talk some boxing. We're going to talk some 4th of July, some stadium renovations, all of the above. We'll just get into sports, and more sports here on the podcast this week. So without further ado, let me just go ahead and bring in that guy across the way, the equally as sunburned as I am, President Zachary Taylor.
So who do you think is worse? Who got sunburned worse?
I'm probably worse.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine's pretty bad. Yeah. You are a little bit lighter complected than me, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we're really about the same.
But
I applied sunscreen a bunch yesterday.
See, I didn't.
Because I could feel myself roasting. And I was like, all right, I need to put some sunscreen on. But I tried a lot of that spray stuff, and I think it just kind of washed off as soon as I jumped in the pool.
I put the spray stuff on a couple times, and it did not do much for me. I put on some at the beginning and forgot to reapply. So I'm extra crispy. This is the extra crispy.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, the extra crispy kernel.
My Aggie Nation podcast. And the unfortunate part is that because of that spray suntan lotion, I kind of got burnt in streaks. So it's not like I'll have a great, you know, tan when this is over. I'll kind of look like a tan zebra.
A little. So wait a minute. How did you get the stripes? How did that work?
Well,
you put the sunscreen
spray,
on.
You know, you kind of maybe it's not stripes as much as triangles, because I think someone sprayed my back in like a zigzag motion. Therefore,
too bad they didn't put some kind of figurine or something on there.
Yes.
Put a shape back there.
Yeah.
And get so that would be that would be
Playboy
a little
Playboy bunny or something.
Yeah.
Be great.
But yeah, we had a good time at the pool and got to chill back, have some brats and some hot dogs,
yeah,
and some hamburgers.
All that food got donated to another party after
Okay.
we left too, so we shared the love.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Because on the 4th of July, that's what it's all about, giving and freedom.
Freedom.
So I'm glad we were able to do that yesterday and provide some happiness.
Right. So hopefully everyone out there had a enjoyable 4th of July and is less sunburned than both Zach and I, because we are roasty toasty over here. But there's a couple things, you know. It's that time of year. It's that kind of ESPYs time of year where
it's the time.
Nothing is going on. There's not, you know. We have SEC Media Days next week, and that'll really kick things into overdrive.
Really we'll ramp stuff up.
We'll get into all that Aggie football stuff starting next week and the week after that.
By the way, they have announced who will be representing Texas A&M at
right.
SEC Media Days. Christian Kirk, Coda Martin, and Armani Watts.
Yes, I think that was mostly to be expected, at least with the Watts-Kirk combination. But we'll get into that. I'll be out there at SEC Media Days. We'll get some good audio and whatnot and pass that along to you next week. But There's just some little tidbits going on in the sports world that I just kind of wanted to touch on. Just wanted to chat with you about a little bit, Zach Taylor, and get your hot sports take on it. First of which, have you seen the information involving this new Atlanta Hawks stadium?
No, I have not.
Well, here, let me just show you a picture of this barn.
Oh, they got pics.
Does that look like somewhere that you would like to?
Oh, it's got all kinds of lights, and that's a big jumbotron.
Yeah, yeah. It looks
super nice.
It looks very fancy. Well, let me just list off. It's a $192 million transformation of Phillips Arena. Second biggest NBA arena renovation ever, only topped by Madison Square Garden. So here's some of the things going on here. First, courtside bar. So if you look here, Zach, down kind of on the baseline, there's like a little cut-in alcove. Maybe like normally it might be where like a tunnel is.
And this is right behind the basket.
Right behind the basket. Kind of like where there's like usually maybe a little tunnel to go to the locker rooms or something.
Yeah.
This is now a little alcove that has a bar. So your VIPs can go down there and stand at the bar, but also watch the game.
I'm not gonna lie, that is kind of cool.
I think that's okay.
I think that's a cool
because
little addition.
Most stadiums now, if you think about anyone, think about Kyle Field. You know, I think if I'm not mistaken, the big spender areas are kind of down in one of the end zones. and you have your club level with your bar. But if you're going to go to the bar and get some food, you have to like leave your seats and go back to what are you watching?
So Barstool Sports put a thing. Apparently, a TV reporter was covering the Hermosa Beach Beer Ironman competition, and somebody had a little too much to drink celebrating our freedom on the 4th of July and promptly got sick on this lady. So sorry, didn't mean to break your concentration,
well, I'm
but I guess
you're trying to have a conversation with you and you're just
I'm a million miles
faces.
Away.
Right.
Maybe we can go over that with the therapist our next session.
That's okay. I'm there to support you. But so we have a courtside bar. I'm fill me in here because I'm not completely in the know. At Kyle Field, where's the club level at Kyle Field? Where's the fancy pants?
On the west side. I mean, you can see it from the press box. You can see where all the club levels are.
Yeah, isn't there like something over in the end zone too? One of the end zones, like
the zone is over there. That's kind of where the original club was. That's where all the clubs were. But now on the west side, you've got multiple levels. Did you take the tour?
I've not.
Where
taken
you were
a tour,
around whenever
no.
we took the tour. Because that's the only time that I'm ever going to be over there, and I got to sit in like the $1 million-a-game suites or whatever. They've got multiple tiers, several bars that are in this big lobby back behind it, and you know, a chandelier. They have a grand piano for some unknown reason, and a spiral staircase. It's just insane how over the top it is. But
sure.
If you've got that money and you got the money to burn, and you want to impress people with your wealth, then by all means, have at it.
Sure. So, moral of the story is, if you think of that, if you think of Bluebell, you have your club area is down there, kind of in the basement under the stands. If you think about the American Airlines
Diamond
Center,
club, yeah.
You know, you have it's up in the platinum level, kind of back in the concourse area a little bit. You know, some of those big stadiums like that. If you want to go and enjoy a beverage in the fanciest of fancy places, you're not really by the action.
No.
So,
or if you're in the media workroom at Reed Arena.
Sure.
Because we got a TV set up in there with all the tables
sure,
and stuff.
Sure,
because
so that's the fanciest of
that
fancy.
That is the fanciest of fanciest there
that Reed Arena has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the other thing. Here's where it gets a little weird for me. There is a in-arena barbershop.
Now, how close is this to the...
Well, okay, I'm
because that sounds really dangerous
it's called,
if it's near
it's
play.
It's going to be called the Swag.
The
and
Swag.
And there is a window, at least by I'm looking at some architecture renderings. It's the Swag Shop.
The Swag Shop.
And
how Atlanta
here you
of you?
It looks very. It looks like the video game The Sims a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But as I'm spinning
but,
my iPad.
Okay,
here.
So it's not like it's down near the baseline or something.
No,
it's not actually.
It looks
it's
like
it's in
like
its own little suite.
Yeah. So that's not as weird,
you know.
But
I can kind of get behind that. I mean, I understand how ridiculous it is, but at the same time, it's one of those additions. You can say, "Hey, look, no other place has this," and it's not necessarily in play. I remember there was one minor league affiliate. There might be more than that for baseball.
Well, doesn't like the Rays have that? Have a barbershop?
Have a barbershop. I know that there was one like down the foul line. So basically, if you're talking about on the berms at Olson Field, imagine having some barber chairs down there. And can you imagine if a foul ball's coming your way and the Clippers just whoop, whoops, oopsie daisies, there goes your haircut.
Yeah, like Tiki Barber doing a barbershop.
But I do wonder how busy are you going to be?
Yeah.
Are the barbers there going to be able to make enough money to live?
Let me just finish the rundown here.
Okay. Okay.
It gets a little weirder. There's also Top Golf Suites with
which,
a
that's
Top
stupid.
Golf Simulator, and here's your picture, Zach, because I know you don't really read.
I do.
Pictures.
I'm very visual, and we're on radio too. So
there's a picture. So it looks like a general sports suite with a screen in it that has the little Top Golf looking
right
thing. So a Top Golf Suite in there, and let me as I'm just scrolling, I'm looking at the For the Win, the USA Today. Blog post about it, and they close the story off with a great line here. With all these features, fans might almost forget they're at a basketball
game. The whole thing. I mean, and we agree on that too. When you're looking at the suites at Kyle Field, you know, people can spend all that time inside the suite, never go outside to actually watch the game.
Yeah, if you're gonna spend what is a pretty exorbitant amount of money to go to a basketball game, especially with some of these things like getting a suite or having courtside tickets to where you have access to the courtside bar. Aren't you going to watch the basketball game?
Not people with money, apparently. And like I said, you know, at Kyle, they've got suites with TVs all inside and a bar. And, you know, so you can sit in the air conditioning and not even pay attention to the football
game. But for the most part, unless you're just socializing and drinking, everything is centered around the football game. Like, you go to the bar, and at least there's going to be, and granted, for most of the stuff, too, there's going to be the TV screens of the game. But, like, it's centered around the game. But if you
it's not like it's trying to make you escape to a different sport.
Right. If you go to the top, if I want to go to Topgolf, go to Topgolf. Don't go to a screen where you get to fake play Topgolf while there's a basketball game going on that you paid for.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think that's pretty stupid. And I imagine the people that had that kind of money would much rather just go to Topgolf or whatever fancy country club that they go to.
Can we quit our jobs and open a Topgolf in College Station?
Sure. If you only get a couple million dollars. You know, I looked into that. How much would it cost to open up a Topgolf? From scratch.
What'd you come up with?
It was a lot of money. I forgot what Google told me, but it's a lot. Now, I told you about the off-brand version of Topgolf, and we mentioned that on one of the podcasts several months ago.
The Jackson Hole down there?
Basically like a redneck version of Topgolf, you know, where you don't have like a bunch of bays, but kind of an open setting and a bar, and every now and then maybe you can have live music if you wanted to. More of kind of a bar than a driving range, but you also have that option.
Okay.
Of course. You know, but it would be perfect up and down Highway 6. Good luck getting all that money.
Yeah.
Because no telling how much you have to cost. Actually, for funsies, I looked it up. Several million dollars for, you know, an 8-acre lot.
If there's any big investors out there that want to
support. If anybody really likes our ideas and just wants to throw us a couple of bones.
We will run that Topgolf. Like nobody's business.
And we'll do the podcast from there,
will do the podcast. That is the added
bonus. We'll keep the podcast.
That is the added bonus. So here's my question. Two questions. A, is this going to work? And B, is the horrible reality that if this does work, this will be the norm in all sporting event stadiums in the next 10 years?
I don't know if it's necessarily going to be the norm or not. I think the Topgolf thing is a little outrageous, like we talked about. You know, you're going to a basketball arena to watch basketball. That being said, you know, give the Hawks a lot of credit for their innovativeness. And they've been actually a franchise that's implemented a lot of that stuff. Like, I think they were the first ones to do that Tinder or love connection thing. You know what I'm talking about? So they had a game on Valentine's Day, and this was a couple of years ago. Tinder was just getting started. And it was like, okay, you can look for other people at the Hawks game, and they had like roses, and you could get a rose and meet up with another person in a section somewhere and like give them a rose.
So it was like real life Bachelor.
Really, pretty much, all circled around a basketball game, which is pretty stupid and goofy, but at the same time, you know, kudos.
If you're
for
a basketball fan, you might want to find someone who will go to basketball games with you.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously, it would be like me or you finding a girl at a Rangers game.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be love at first start.
Game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but, you know, it would be love at first sight.
Yeah. Well,
the romantic in me just appeals to that.
So do you think, you know, tying this back into the lovely theme of our podcast, do you think that if this is successful, this reaches the college ranks? Do you think there will be Topgolf bays in Kyle Field in the next 20 years
or that
old stadium in Austin or something like
at
that?
At this point, I'm not going to put anything past them. I would imagine they would have a Topgolf simulator in the Aggie football locker room before they would in a suite.
True.
Since they already have a barbershop and it looks like a nightclub in there, and they've got a game room and everything else.
What if they opened in the offseason, they opened up A&M's like player lounge locker room as an actual nightclub?
Just in the off season,
yeah.
Just around like spring ball and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think they
could sell some money. I'm sure John Sharp would be all about it.
This is less now the extra crispy podcast edition and more the entrepreneurial podcast.
It's all about that green, baby.
Yeah,
we're gonna. Well,
get
you know,
on that.
The athletic department, especially the football program, is really in need of money because they've been suffering a lot lately. So just trying to keep them afloat, trying to keep your head above water.
Sure. Sure. The other thing that you wanted to talk about, you brought up a little bit, is, you know, with your head in the gutter and all, is the ESPN Body Edition.
Oh,
you're perusing that as I walked here.
It wasn't in my head in the gutter. It was the first thing that popped up whenever I looked here. We got A.J. Andrews, who's a softball player. Javier Baez. I was wondering who that was. Javier Baez. He's got some nice glutes. we got like younger people walking outside. There's Julian Edelman. Ezekiel Elliott's in it.
He was like, he's a cover boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the cover, and he's in getting splashed with water for some odd reason. I don't know why they're doing that, but anyways, he's getting splashed. Kirstie Ennis, an adaptive sports. Now, she is actually an amputee, is missing her left leg. So that's an interesting one to do.
Yeah.
But it's got her kind of like spread eagle over a... on a rock. I mean, how else are you going to put that? Like, she's climbing
Zach,
up like Spider-Man.
Zach, this is a family-friendly podcast.
You know, it's the body issue. It's not showing anything bad on her booty, but...
Okay, so...
And a little size.
Here's the thing that... yes, I get why... And especially with some of the things that they've done with that, for instance, and everything like that. It is art and portraying the human body as... something magnificent, and I get that, but isn't it in all reality just the counter to the SI swimsuit edition?
I don't know. Hey, those ladies are athletes. They actually do.
In all reality, though, I would feel like probably the same. It's the same customer, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a little something for the ladies here.
Sure.
With what's his face, Malachi Fikatoa, who is a rugby player. He's got some nice tats and some abs. Gus Kenworthy, he's free skiing.
I just remember last year they had Dallas Stars center Tyler Seguin holding a giant rubber ducky.
Really?
Yeah, that was quality.
And of course, you remember a couple of years back when they had Prince Fielder, and everybody was like, oh, they're branching out into the thick people.
Yeah.
Or whatever, the... bigger bodied people. Now they've got Joe Thornton and Brent Burns, who are hockey players, and actually one of them's rocking no teeth in the front, so he got rid of his dentures.
Yeah, that's Burns.
That's funny. And then they've got the women's hockey team, which I haven't watched a lot of these ladies' games, but judging at least by the way that they've got them dolled up, I realize that it's, you know, a little lighting, things like that. It's a professional photo shoot, but there's some good looking ladies that play for the women's hockey team.
Well, it probably helps your opinion that they're all just...
naked?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
in their birthday suit.
Yeah, maybe so. Ashley Wagner, figure skater, she's in it. Michelle Watterson, who's an MMA, and apparently she goes out to the middle of the desert and practices on rocks and stuff and trains.
In the buff.
Novlin Williams-Mills.
They're all so shiny.
Caroline Wozniacki is in it, too.
They're all so shiny.
Yeah, they're very glistening. I don't know if they rub them up with some oil or what
have you.
Yeah,
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm not really all about the body edition. It's not.
So if you were a professional athlete, say if we did a body edition of podcasts around the nation, would you sign up?
An Aggieland Media body edition?
Yes.
No.
We could have Robert Cessna. He'd be the cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Olin Buchanan would have to be in there somewhere. He's got to be
flexing. With the guns.
Yeah, with the guns. OB's pretty much half naked all the time anyways, because he wears those shirts from Baby Gap.
said it, on me.
Wow. OB's got some pythons, man. He works out at the Planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's pretty jacked.
So it really would be the Planet Fitness edition. That would be who's sponsored.
Yeah, maybe so. There's quite a few of us, yeah, that are members at the Planet. So
well, that's a little bit of some really, really random stuff.
You brought it up, man.
No, you're the one that wanted to talk about it. So we're gonna move on to one more little segment here, and I got a little Twitter back and forth with some fans this past week, and I want to, you know, clarify a little bit. So that's next on the My Aggie Nation podcast.
DJ Zach. I got to come up with a better name. That's not...
No.
Yeah.
It's President Zach.
The Chain Smokers. That's already been
taken. That's already been taken,
yeah. Darn it. Welcome back to the My Aggie Nation podcast. Zach Taylor alongside Travis L. Brown. Make whatever kind of assumptions about us you will. We really don't care. We've heard it all. Now, talking a little bit about some boxing Travis. The other day, we actually went and threw the softball around a little bit, did our practice cuts, mm-hmm. and I almost wrenched my back out, by the way. The next day, my back was sore because we were taking BP,
yeah.
and there were a couple of balls in which I took a massive hack and either hit it off the end of the bat
or just straight up whiffed.
So, well, I didn't swing and miss, maybe once, but you were throwing spitballs. Mm-hmm. That being said, we went to an establishment afterwards to go get something to eat, and boxing was on. Now, this was the undercards down in Brisbane? I don't know. I've never been to Australia. If you want me to pronounce it right, if you pay for my trip, I will more than gladly go, because that is ultimately, that's on my bucket list, is go visit Australia, just anywhere in Australia, really. That being said, we were watching it, and Sugar Shane Mosley Jr., was fighting. Did he win that fight? Because we left before it was over.
I didn't. Well, that's what was on my travel time back, so okay. I didn't really.
But the
undercards were a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah, but the main event that night was Manny Pacquiao
mm-hmm.
versus an
Jeff
Aussie.
Horn.
Yeah, and they were fighting on his home turf. It was a very what's the right word I'm looking for? You're a wordsmith. You're a writer. What's the word?
Well, I don't know
for?
What you're trying to say.
Well,
exciting.
Well, it may be exciting, but the ending was very
controversial.
Yeah, controversial. Big words. The ending was very controversial, and many people thought that Manny Pacquiao should have won it, and he got gypped by the judges.
Yes.
And so you were writing, and you said that even though the controversial ending might shoo away some fans, you feel like because the fight was not on pay-per-view, because it was on cable television, that in and of itself will help draw more fans to boxing.
So here's what happened. Right after the fight ended, as they were announcing the winner, which was Jeff Horn, to most people's chagrin.
That's a big word, too.
Yeah.
You're full of them.
I'm just full of vocabulary. I tweeted, it doesn't matter which fighter won. The sport of boxing was the big winner tonight. Well done, top-ranked boxing and ESPN. Top-ranked boxing, of course, is the promotional organization that helped put the fight on. Probably a tip of the cap to Manny Pacquiao, to Jeff Horn, everything like that, for bucking the trend of where boxing has gone for the last decade or so, or probably longer, with the pay-per-view model, where you have to, you know, order the game or order the match through your cable provider or whatever.
And the fighters rack up big bucks doing that.
Yes, because you're buying a ticket like you would to buy a ticket to the game to watch it on TV. And when boxing was super relevant and a super big sport, that was a good model because
yeah.
you probably made bank on that. But now boxing has not only just faded out of the limelight, but has been probably eclipsed by UFC and MMA and things like that, to the point where people don't know much about boxing and probably wouldn't choose to turn boxing on. I'm a big boxing fan. I did some boxing coverage for the Star Telegram when I was up there, and that's some of the best things I've gotten to cover. Love me some boxing. But I sincerely think the backlash that came back on me was people saying, because of how gypped it looked like the whole decision-making process was, and it was pretty egregious because because of how gypped it seemed the process was, people will say, well, this is rigged, this is wrong, and I'm not going to watch it. My argument is, no, they're going to watch what's put in front of them. And if it's on ESPN, whether the sport seems rigged or not rigged or terrible, if it's a good fight and it's something that they can just turn the channel and it pops up, they're going to watch it. And they're going to watch it more now because other than the ending, that was an outstanding fight.
I'll be the first one to admit, I'm not the biggest boxing buff. I mean, I can appreciate it. I understand it. I mean, the greats, when you're talking about Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson. But, you know, whenever I was growing up, I was a little bit on that back end of it, if that makes sense. Like mm-hmm. Tyson wasn't relevant whenever I kind of became of age. I was still small. And my parents didn't really watch it. My dad wasn't big on it or anything like that. You know, but you got Evander Holyfield. You got everything else. I'm going to make a hot take here and say that boxing is not as relevant in the American culture now. I think it's still very much relevant in Latin countries, even in Russia and Europe.
In Ireland and England.
Right.
Still.
I think people there still see it as a major sport, whereas in America, it's kind of gone downhill a little bit, whether that be because of our culture and that, you know, we're taught that, oh, well, violence is bad, you know, you gotta da 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 da, or that might be one thing. But I think it's because the lack of American heavyweights.
True.
Think of it, because like I said, Tyson, right? Because when Tyson was been there, he was hitting people, he was getting all on them and stuff. And he was, you know, this amazing puncher. And he kind of captivated his audience. And along with Evander Holyfield, I mean, you had these guys who were big time champs and they talked a lot of trash, somewhat in the style of Muhammad Ali, even though he's the greatest. Nobody's ever going to eclipse him. But it captured the public's imagination.
Sure.
But when was the last time you heard about an American heavyweight either winning a belt or being relevant? That's what I'm saying. Like the Klitschko brothers, right? In Russia.
Yeah.
They're real big now, but really, how many American boxers are
heavyweights
there?
Are a dying breed too, because if you look at the welterweights and lower are what boxing is evolving into.
And I'm not saying,
because who's the two biggest names in boxing right now? It's Pacquiao
and
Mayweather, and
they're both
welterweights.
And they're both at the end of their careers.
Sure.
You know, I'm not going to take anything away from the lighter guys. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard was top of the top, and remember Roberto Duran, all that stuff. And it's still a lot of fun to watch the smaller guys. But when you're thinking of the creme de la creme, you're thinking of power on power, the biggest versus the baddest. Heavyweight automatically comes to mind.
But I think too, maybe this has to do with some of MMA coming in, or if it's I couldn't put my finger on it, but. The strategy of boxing, I think people have understood that sometimes getting out there and being a big puncher. I mean, this is the same kind of argument you could make towards the Mayweather.
Pacquiao fight.
No. The
Mayweather McGregor.
McGregor fight.
Oh,
is
that's gonna be a bloodbath.
Is that the best strategy to boxing isn't necessarily just go out there and have the biggest arm. It's being quick. It's being able to dodge. It's being a boxer, not a puncher.
And I think that's what some people are getting driven to MMA for, because you have these big personalities. You have a lot of American personalities, and you oftentimes will win by submission or you'll win by knockout. It's not going to be decided by the judges every single time. And honestly, there's a lot of fights. And as a casual boxing fan, I think a lot of people probably got turned off with the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. I don't see how you couldn't, because a couple years ago,
it was a terrible fight.
Well, everybody had billed that was going to be the biggest, best fight ever, even though, it honestly, Pacquiao was beyond his prime. It was a fight that you would have loved to have seen 10 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch these two guys, you're expecting big-time blows and all this stuff, and really you saw Floyd Mayweather dance around the ring the entire time.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's bad, because that's kind of his game.
And that's what made this Jeff Horn Pacquiao fight so good, because there was pretty much constant action through all 12 rounds.
Right.
And to the point where, and to a lot of people's confusion, in the ninth round, I want to say, the ref had to come over to Jeff Horn's corner and say, you need to show me something or I'm calling this fight. Because he was cut badly over an eye.
Yeah.
His whole right side of his face had swollen up.
It was all in Pacquiao's favor.
And Pacquiao should have put it away. Let me take a quick pause here, too, because I think that there's plenty of people, and I would venture to argue that there's probably plenty of people who are throwing lashes at me on Twitter who might not necessarily understand how boxing is scored. And I think that might play a little part into it. It also plays a little bit of a part into how egregious the decision was. It's a 10-point system. It's kind of like a judging system, like you would judge a dunk contest or something like that, to an extent. It's a little bit more scientific. The basically the fighter that wins the round is gets a 10. If it's mostly even but one fighter is more dominant in that round, the other one typically gets a 9.
Right.
So it's a 10-9 throughout. If a
Like Dancing with the Stars.
Right. If a boxer is if a boxer is knocked down, it's an automatic point deduction.
Mm-hmm.
If both boxers are knocked down in the same round, they cancel each other out.
Okay.
So the only other thing too is if a boxer doesn't knock another one down, but is so incredibly dominant and inflicts so much damage and has control of the ring so much, a judge can give that boxer a 10-8 score without a knockdown. And that's what Teddy Atlas in his unofficial card had Pacquiao with a 10-8 win in that ninth round, which really should have put him ahead. So the final score is the total of those round points added up. The final score of the unanimous decision was 117-111 in favor of Jeff Horn, which means he just dominated that match. And that's why people more so, because I think if you actually look back and other than that ninth frame, there was a stretch of three or four rounds where Jeff Horn was the more dominant boxer. Pacquiao started out quick the first two rounds. About three or four rounds in there in the middle, Jeff Horn really came out and was landing some big blows. And then Pacquiao came back in the ninth, really was able to work the cut that he cut, brought over Horn's right eye in the third, and inflict some damage. So it's not just because you beat the other guy to a pulp in one round. That would basically be like saying if A&M was playing LSU and A&M scored nine runs, one run every nine innings to get nine runs, but LSU scored eight in the eighth, that LSU should win because they had a more dominating performance in that one frame.
No, I understand.
I'm just throwing that out there a little bit. Too.
So you're basically saying you're agreeing with the judge's decision?
I'm not. I think Pacquiao should have won, but I don't think it was as egregious as A, the score dictated, and B, everyone's clamoring about. Pacquiao should have won. He should have won that match, but I don't think it was as far. Pacquiao had one really dominant round where he almost knocked the guy out, and he should have knocked the guy out, but he didn't take advantage of that situation. Anyway, it's a long roundabout segue to say that I think this was good for boxing. I yes, the decision stunk, but one thing, just going, ESPN announced it was a 1.8 ranking, which was the highest ever fight on record on a cable network in the past decade. So having it on cable worked. People watched.
No, I completely agree with
and
you.
I think
that will help draw people in.
One of the next big boxers that's going to be coming up, I don't want to say the next big Floyd Mayweather or anything like that, but one of the next big names in boxing is Terrence Crawford. And they announced on that last Saturday that his next bout is going to be on ESPN against Vasyl Lomachenko. He's the Lomachenko is a junior lightweight champion. Terrence Crawford is welterweight world champion, junior welterweight world champion. It's going to be a pretty big fight, and that's someone who's going to be on the radar to be one of those next big names. But he's kind of already started to become one of those next big names of boxing. That's going to be on August, and I guarantee you, no matter how the Pacquiao-Horn fight turned out, there's going to be people who are scrolling across who might never have given boxing a chance, that when they scroll on ESPN to see what's on, they see that it's that Terrence Crawford fight, they're going to stop and give it a chance.
Can we also agree on who the undisputed champion is from this previous week? Joey Jaws Chestnut downing 72 hot dogs.
I'm so frustrated with you right now.
Why?
I had not yet even gotten my foot off the soapbox before you have to bring in hot dog
before
eating.
I start changing things around?
Bring in hot dog eating.
Okay, so hot dog eating was on cable television, correct? How many viewers do you think the freaking hot dog eating contest got
past
weekend? I don't know numbers. But that being said, when you're looking at it, yeah, I completely agree with you. And I thought that was awesome to be able to see a name that a lot of people recognize in Manny Pacquiao, a big time fight taking place on regular cable TV where you don't have to pay the extra cash or find some place that you got to pay a cover to go. And I think that will win a lot of people over because, I mean, look, you've been flipping through the channels at 3 o'clock in the morning and see like replays or these fights of guys who you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're actual name fighters in a big time match that are on cable TV, I think you're going to win over fans, because these are folks that, you know, as a casual fan, why would you pay money to see a fight? If you're looking at it from a casual fan's perspective, why pay money? But once they start watching it, if they start getting into it, then they say, you know what? I think I might pay for view next time and that there's a big fight on.
Hats off to Manny Pacquiao and Jeff Horn again for taking back a little bit of probably what they would make on a big payday to do something for the sport, realizing that it is it right now. Currently, it is a dying sport, and it's facing more challenges than it ever has, because if you look at sport and sports health now, taking repeated shots to the head is something that most sports are trying to eliminate from their games. And whereas boxing is directly taking huge shots to the head repeatedly.
And it's a sport that, you know, same with football, and you're compensated very well for it. I mean, but as you, I think that's something else that has come around too, is that the brutality of boxing, you know, you can say it's a sweet science, and there is a lot of sweet science behind it, but a lot of people look at it as a violent sport and the drawbacks physically that come with it. It's not drawing the same kind of crowds that it once did, because people are finding out new stuff about it. You know, and you're having fewer people participate in Golden Gloves.
Yes, but the argument against that, too, is but what's taken its place? It's MMA, which is an even more violent sport.
You think MMA is more violent?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. Look at how short the matches are and how short the rounds are. And you're having people doing full roundhouse kicks to the head with gloves that are half the size of boxing mitts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extremely more violent than and you're putting people in chokeholds and there's usually always blood all over the place. I mean, you know, sometimes you can get through a whole boxing match and not a cut get open.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I mean, those guys are going to hit heavier in a boxing match. You know, you get plunked by a boxer versus an MMA guy, there's going to be a difference there. And I think that's a fact that Conor McGregor is probably going to learn here in a couple of months. But yeah, you know, from a boxing standpoint, as a casual fan, I'll start watching it if there's big time matches that are going to be on ESPN.
Yeah.
But again, like the pay-per-view, unless I'm going to get a bunch of friends together, I'm just not going to watch.
I mean, I think you're exactly the demographic that I'm talking about. Someone who knows a little bit about boxing, doesn't know some of the names and stuff like that, but flipped it on, it's on, you might give it a shot. Did the decision last week make it
did
where
it deter
you,
me?
Deter you from wanting to turn on boxing?
Honestly, it would a little bit. It really would. Because, you know, the consensus is that one person won, and when they didn't win, you start getting into the realm of, well, it's rigged, you know, or that it's just not fair, the judges aren't doing the right thing.
Yeah, but when you're flipping the channel and you flip it to ESPN and there's that Terrence Crawford fight in August, your first instinct is probably going to be like, oh, I'll keep this on for a little bit, right? It's not going to be, well, now hold on, I need to take my moral high ground here because I need to, you know, not watch this because it's rigged and you're going to watch.
Yeah, but I'm not going to sit here and say that it doesn't affect fans whenever a ruling does not go the way the consensus thinks it should, and people aren't going to be a little deterred by that.
Yeah,
there's goods and bads to it. I still think that there were some drawbacks with the ruling, yes, and that might scare some folks away. But I also think it's going to bring some folks in because it's on regular cable and it's more accessible and they can watch it. But, you know, if you start really getting into it and all of a sudden you could throw all your weight behind your favorite fighter, you're wanting them to win, and in the end, it doesn't work out the way that you think it should, I think that that's going to turn a lot of people off.
Sure.
And like I said, I'm kind of the casual fan, so I don't really have a horse in the race. But that being said, you know, if I was like, all right, I think Manny Pacquiao is supposed to win and he doesn't, that's going to be fairly disappointing. I'm going like, well, you know, I'm just not going to pay attention to it because whoever's supposed to win isn't going to win.
Yeah, I get that. I just think that it's more just whatever the opposite of out of sight, out of mind is, insight in mind.
So you think people will just watch no matter what the outcome is?
Yes.
No matter what the ruling is, as against what
because
they feel
also,
it should be.
Too, I feel like there's a contingent of people who will probably watch because they want to see if it's rigged again. There's controversy.
Yeah, maybe.
That's why streaming TV shows are doing is all that's on ESPN and all the news networks now is people like to controversy. People like to see people screaming about how things are rigged and terrible. And I think that I think this is one of those cases a little bit where something I'm not saying it shouldn't be changed. I think it should be changed. I think the person who rightfully won the match should win the match. But I don't necessarily think – I think for as many people as it'll turn off, you might get people turn on watching was wanting to know if it's going to be rigged again.
If they can watch it for free, maybe.
Yeah.
They're not going to pay something they feel is
but
rigged.
But if these games continue – these matches continue to be on ESPN and maybe even get it on some of the networks, get on NBC or something like that, I think that – I don't think that the decision in last week's match will have anything to do – with the growth of the sport, should it remain on some kind of cable or network TV?
We can agree to disagree. Look, I'm going to say, too, that you see the money that these fighters make on these pay-per-view matches. You see the amount that the amount of money that is drawn into this. Ultimately, that is what boxing's goal is. Now, they can start appealing to the casual fan by airing bouts on ESPN, on basic cable stations. But ultimately, they're wanting to draw people in so then they can have them start paying for pay-per-view. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, to me, financially, that seems like a good idea. You start drawing people in. You start bringing in casual fans from boxing. They say, you know what? This is actually pretty cool. And then as you continue to draw them in, continue to reel them in, then you get them to pay for a pay-per-view bout. But if they feel like it's rigged when they're watching it for free, they're not going to pay to watch what they feel is a rigged fight or a wrongly judged fight.
Sure. But I just think that the sport needs a reboot. And I think the days of if you're going to return to pay-per-view are very much in the future. You have to go back and all these fights need to be on regular TV.
We'll see. Like I said, I also go back to, I think it's the lack of American personalities. You know, Floyd Mayweather, we saw how many people watched his fight. But the lack of an American heavy hitter, heavyweight, I think draws a lot of people off because you're not going to have as big of a fan base in America if they can't get somebody brute behind.
Yeah.
So I
Fair
think
enough.
That's part of it.
But that guy's going to be Terrence Crawford. Mark my words. He's a good boxer. Anyway, that's all we're going to have this week for the My Aggie Nation podcast. We have to, you know, get ready, fired up for those SEC media days and the start of football season. Also, there's just, you know, not a whole ton going on right now. But that's okay, because we'll be back next week with all kinds of coverage from Hoover, Alabama, talking to Christian Kirk, talking to Amani Watts, talking to Coda Martin, as well as head coach Kevin Sumlin. So we might be a little bit later in the week on that. We'll see how we can square away doing the podcast. But until then, I am Travis Brown. He is Zach Taylor. This is the My Aggie Nation podcast, and we'll see you next week. It seems like every day, everything just has a way to must have seems. But if we don't watch what we're doing, our hearts will get ruined by silly things. Good love ain't needs a girl, we know that's true. And if we want to keep it, we gotta watch everything that we do. I wanna make sure my baby, make sure you're sticking with me. I wanna make sure that we'll be all that we can be.